Good morning, church. Amen. Our thanks to Bev and the worship team for leading us this morning in worship. And I greet you all this morning in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a blessing to be here after our 10-day suspension of in-person services. And we thank God for this opportunity that we are back able to meet together and to worship him together. It's also great to have those who had contracted COVID, Bev and Jacob and others who are here with us today, and they're recovered and doing well, and we thank God for that. Amen? We thank God for that. Well, I want to get right into the message today, and we are continuing our series of Advent in preparation for Christmas, and today we're going to take a look, as mentioned, at the account Luke's account and inclusion of both Simeon and Anna. Simeon and Anna. And we are going to commence reading from Luke chapter 2, from verse 21 to 40. And it reads, "On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus. And the name of the angel had the name that the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord." Present him to the Lord. "As it is written in the law of the Lord, that every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law had required, and Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, 'Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people Israel.' Child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, 'This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too.' And there was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth." And the final verse, "And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day again. And we just pray now that as we feast and partake of your holy word, that you would speak to us today. Speak to our hearts. Would you encourage us and challenge us where we need it so that we can be more like you? I pray that you would anoint me afresh now to preach and to make known the mystery of your gospel and to proclaim your word in power and with authority. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Waiting for salvation. Waiting for salvation. Friends, a few weeks ago, to my dismay and surprise, I learned something important about my youngest nephew, Jacob. And as we were spending time together as a family, we were interrupted by a loud shout from the lounge area. "No!" Jacob shouted. And as I rushed around to the lounge area where Jacob was, in my mind, en route to him, I was very curious. What could be the cause of this loud shout and expression of urgency from my nephew? Has he hurt himself? Has he accidentally broken something in the room? However, friends, the loud shout from Jacob was nothing to do with his physical well-being. Or was it to do with the destruction of any items in the lounge? But the source of Jacob's frustration was the dreaded sight on his iPad that for a split second or two, the game that he was playing on his iPad was interrupted by a buffering icon. Because the Wi-Fi signal had gone down for just a few seconds. It was at that moment, church, that I could not help but wonder, what would be his response if the Wi-Fi signal was to go down for an hour? I began to wonder what would happen if I was to play a game and decide to turn off the router. I think it would have literally been World War III in the Gordon household. And church, yes, we could point the finger of scrutiny at younger generations and say they display a lack of patience in life. Yes, even some have nicknamed younger generations as being the microwave generation. That such generations, children and young people, are familiar with high-speed internet and smartphones that operate with a rapid sense of speed at record response times. And I began to share with my nephew an old uncle moment that when I was around his age, the internet connection was so slow that whilst you were downloading a Word document, you could make your way downstairs, make yourself something to eat and drink, and come back to the computer, and it may even still be downloading. Some of you may recall that old dial-up speed internet with providers such as AOL, that in order to connect to the internet, you had to endure that horrid sound that, of course, is completely alien to younger generations today. However, church, I want to suggest this morning that not only are children and young people more apt to grow frustrated with having to wait for things to happen at rapid speeds in life, but I also believe, church, that for the young and even for the old, especially over the past 2 years, we have all, regardless of our age, we've had to learn the art and the grace of exercising patience. I mean, grandparents have had to learn over these past 18 months to adapt to a new way of life, isolating from their loved ones, not being able to interact and see their children and their grandparents. I mean, parents, friends, have had to juggle the weight and the responsibility of being mum and dad, but also be the temporary maths and science teacher. Single people have had to cope with the lack of face-to-face interaction with friends and family. And yes, even as a church, even as Christians, we've had to exercise patience with the closure of church buildings and in-person gatherings. And we've heard recently, even on the news, that large numbers of groups, even now, are cancelling their Christmas parties as a result of yet another variant. But not only, church, has the nation and the world been affected with seasons of waiting, waiting for things to get back to a sense of normalcy from a practical point of view. But I also believe that spiritually, there may be some of us here this morning, here in the final month of 2021, that are saying in your hearts and in your minds, you're asking the question, how long, Father? When will you reveal your perfect will in my life? When will you manifest and bring to pass what you have promised and revealed to me what seems like a long time ago? How long will it take, Father, for my loved one to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? How many times do I have to call their name to you in prayer? And from my heart, cry out to God, save them, Lord. Save them from this wicked and perilous generation. How long will it take, Lord, for another great revival to sweep this nation? How long, Father, before you sort out the problems that I am currently facing in my life? And friends, if you find yourself asking similar questions this morning, how long, Lord? How long? Well, allow me to encourage you this morning not to lose hope, not to lose heart, because the great God of heaven has not forgot about you. He sees and he knows what you are going through. No, he has not forgot about the desires of your heart. He knows what we are facing. When you pray to him, although sometimes it may appear and feel that you're talking to a brick wall, but I want to encourage you this morning in the words of James, that our prayers are effective and they are powerful. They avail much. They carry weight. They have a great impact. So keep on praying, friends. Keep on seeking the will of God. And in his perfect timing, he will reveal to you the answers to your prayers. You see, patience is not just simply the ability to wait, but it's how we behave while we are waiting. How do we behave in between the prayer and the answer? Does our human time frames afford God the possibility of answering in his divine timing? Or have we become inspired only by the instantaneous, those miracles, those answers to prayers that seemingly happened just like that? Immediately, straightway, with urgency. And that leads me this morning to the first point in your sermon notes as we explore Luke's account and inclusion of Simeon and Anna. As they were waiting for the promised Messiah, and for us today, friends, as we perhaps are seeking answers to prayers from our hearts. And the first point that I want to leave with you today is, number one, whilst we are in seasons of waiting, we have to recognize the difference between, here it is, human expectations versus godly expectations. It's amazing here in verse 26, look what it says again. It had been revealed to him, Simeon, by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Full stop. That was the instruction from the Holy Spirit. That Jesus will come, Simeon, and before you die, you will see him with your own eyes. However, I'm not going to tell you the exact date when this will happen, but rest assured it will happen when God sees fit. And church, this is where, as human beings, with our human expectations sometimes, is that sometimes we can fail to see things through the spirit lenses. We can easily grow weary and become frustrated and perplexed and deflated because it's within our human nature to expect greater attention to the details. When is it going to happen? Where is it going to happen? And how is it going to happen? Our finite minds, they gravitate towards the security of being in the know. We like to have the full picture. Gives us assurance. Gives us peace. But friends, how do we respond? How do we behave when the instructions from heaven are seemingly lacking in the details? But I want to suggest this morning, through the ministries of both Simeon and Anna, that whilst you are waiting for the fulfillment of the promise, as Simeon and Anna, in their own respective ways, were waiting for the blessed hope of our Lord Jesus Christ, the day of salvation. But there's something rather practical, yet spiritual, that both Simeon and Anna continued to do in the meanwhile, while they were in a season of waiting. And I believe we can learn a lot from this today. And it's simply put that in seasons of waiting, when we're waiting for the answer to our prayers, when we're waiting for the manifestation of what God has promised us, that in seasons of waiting, Simeon and Anna, they both continued to serve God and to be productive for his glory. They didn't down tools and say, I'm tired of waiting. I've had enough of waiting. That's enough. It's not going to happen. But they continued to serve God. They continued to be faithful, even in a season of waiting patiently on God. In fact, Luke describes Simeon's character as one who was righteous and also devout. That despite the fact that some scholars suggest that Simeon may have been around 200 years of age when he finally received the promised Messiah, Simeon continued to be faithful to God, and he waited patiently on his word. And in like manner, church, Anna too was advanced in years, in her 80s. And despite being a widow after a brief 7-year marriage, Anna exercised patience and also an eagerness to serve in the role of a prophetess. And in fact, she was so zealous for the things of God that the Bible lets us know that she never left the temple, and she would worship God both day and night. And church, what I believe Simeon and Anna both displayed whilst they were waiting on God's promise, I believe it was a healthy balance between faith and works. Faith and works. Because sometimes, if we're not careful, friends, we can pray about something and expect God just to acquiesce to our request without any willingness to be a participator in the process. We have to be a part of the solution ourselves. For example, I could pray to God with all of my heart and say, Lord, please help me to finish my final year at Spurgeon's College. Please help me to graduate on time. And that's a great, healthy prayer to pray. And God will help me. But if I just sit down after praying that, night and day, put my feet up and watch Coronation Street, then my prayer would be lacking in the work element. Because it's faith and works. And you will see in your sermon notes this morning a quote from St. Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo. And he had something to say about the balance of faith and works. And if you have a pen with you this morning, you'll see there's a blank, and if you'd like to fill in the blanks here. And the first one is, Augustine says that we ought to pray as though everything depended on God. Pray as though everything depended on God. God, I'm dependent on you for the answer to my prayer. I look to you. You are the source of my strength. Everything depends on God. But then he goes on to say, and work as though everything depended on you. Interesting. Pray as though everything depends on God, but work as though everything depends on you. And his quote is based on the words of James in the New Testament, that faith by itself, if it does not have works, the Bible says it is dead. For example, if I were to develop a toothache, I can pray and have faith in God that he is able to subdue and bring relief to my pain. Absolutely, I can pray. But the work element of my faith in action is that I book myself an appointment at the dentist. Faith and works. We can all have faith, friends, that God will protect us and keep us safe in our homes at night. Absolutely. We can pray that God will keep us safe in our homes. But the work element is simply that we ensure that our doors are locked. It would not be wise to say, God, I have faith that you're going to keep me safe. Leave the doors open, leave the car door open, and say, I'm just going to go to sleep at night, and I have faith you're going to keep me safe. Faith and works. Depends on God, but work as though it depends on me. So friends, in seasons of waiting, I want to ask the question today, is our expectations congruent with God's expectations and his perfect timing? And both Simeon and Anna, they teach us that even in seasons of waiting, we can still be productive and we can serve God effectively. But secondly, we also see the importance of the Holy Spirit in seasons of waiting. The role of the Holy Spirit. Because Simeon, as Luke describes him, as being righteous and devout. But I believe the most important attribute which helped him throughout the waiting season for Jesus was the role of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit allowed Simeon to exercise wisdom in the waiting season. It acted as what I'd like to call a satellite navigation system, which kept him focused on the promise, that reminded him that the Spirit of God was his guide, even whilst he was waiting. And I want to encourage you today, friends, that the Holy Spirit is there to equip us as believers, that yes, in seasons of waiting, while we're waiting for the answer, waiting for the solution, I believe that the Holy Spirit is there to help navigate and to keep us on the right path. It helps to stabilize our emotions, because in our human minds, in our humanity, sometimes our emotions can get the better of us. Our emotions in seasons of waiting may say, give up. Our emotions may say, it's not going to happen. Emotions will say, God won't answer. our prayers. But if we can tap into the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us and lead us. It will remind us, friends, that the joy of the Lord is our strength. It will remind us that God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. The Holy Spirit will remind in our hearts and minds, it will remind us that now unto Him who is able to keep us from falling. Hallelujah. The Spirit will say to us that he or she who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you today, allow the Holy Spirit to navigate your emotions whilst you are in seasons of waiting. Allow the Spirit to remind you of what God has promised. His truth, His word. Because the promises of God, they are yea and amen. It will come to pass, friends. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Keep patiently waiting. And in God's perfect timing, just like for Simeon and Anna, God will make manifest His purpose and His will. But third and finally today, friends, not only are we to understand the challenges between human expectations and godly expectation, not only are we to recognize the power when we're in seasons of waiting, the importance of the Holy Spirit, but third and finally, we have to have the appropriate response to fulfilled promises. My mum always taught me when I was a young boy, if anyone does anything good for you, it's good manners to say thanks. So in seasons of waiting, when God actually fulfills what He has promised, the question is, how will we respond? And both Simeon and Anna, they praised God, as Bev said. They praised God for the fulfillment of the promise. Simeon took him in his arms and praised God. Hallelujah. And I want to encourage you today, because sometimes in our humanities, when we're in seasons of waiting, we can forget to remember past blessings. The times when we had to wait before and God answered our prayers. And sometimes we're so focused on the here and in the now and the problems of the now that we don't take time to recollect what God has done for us in the past. The answers to our prayers in the past. And the good news is if God answered prayer for you, for your family in the past, and you have that testimony in the past, then the same God is able to do it right now. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. The importance, friends, of giving God the glory to whom honor is due when we realize the fulfillment of His promises. And I want to also leave with you today that not only do I believe that we should just praise God at the fulfillment of the promise, but even while we are waiting, It's still good ground to give God praise. We don't have to sit down with our arms folded and say, I'll just wait. I'll wait. But even while we are waiting, like Simeon, like Anna, she continued to be faithful, to serve in the temple. I want to encourage you today, in like manner, to exercise that faith and trust in God, to keep serving Him, even in the meanwhile. As a church family, I close with this. We've been in a season of waiting ourselves, haven't we? Myself personally, at the start of the year, they told us at college that the settlement year, the final year of college, it's called settlement, but it's really unsettlement. And I've had to realize that this year. And I can't wait to share with you, as Bev announced, that on the 15th there will be a meeting, and I'm looking forward to sharing with you what God has been doing in my heart. And I really look forward to sharing what God has laid on my heart. But I want to encourage you as a church family today, collectively as a church, as we wait on the Lord, He will renew our strength. He will renew our strength. The waiting season is not a season to be in dismay, but the waiting season is for our strength to be renewed. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, for a nation and as a world, perhaps many people are waiting for various things in life. There may be so many different agendas and wish lists. But I pray, like Simeon and Anna, that you would really stir within our hearts, within the hearts of those who live in this town, this nation, and in this season of Advent leading to Christmas, that, Lord, you would stir in the hearts of men, women, boys and girls, a heart to be ready to receive the joy of salvation. Lord, I pray that this Christmas will not just be another festive season to have a good time and be jolly, and that's great, but I pray that we would really, really recognize the real meaning of this time of year as we wait on salvation. We thank you, Lord, that salvation did come for Simeon and for Anna, and for many across this room this morning, we too have been partakers of that great salvation. But we thank you, Lord, that we too can look also not just to your birth that came in Bethlehem, but we thank you even in the waiting season, the promise that you gave us that you will come back again. So we look forward to that, Lord. We look forward to you coming again. And may we continue to keep that and guard that promise in our hearts, that regardless of what is going on around us, that you have promised that you will come back again. So help us to wait patiently on you. But in the meanwhile, whilst we are waiting, like Simeon, like Anna, help us to be productive. Help us to serve you faithfully. Help us not to grow weary in well-doing. But help us to keep our eyes on you, for you are the author and the finisher of our faith. Help us to keep our eyes on you. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Praise God. Praise God.